Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. So over the week, I heard from a brother, Nick Johnson, who runs a great little Freemasonic blog called The Millennial Freemason. After hearing last week's episode and how we chatted a bit about the World of Warcraft and having a virtual lodge and such, well, he had to share with me his experience in a real deal virtual lodge. I obtained permission to read this post, which he shared, so I'd like to read that as our first piece this week. The Millennial Freemason, Insights into the Mind of a Young Freemason, for Tuesday, July 5th, 2011, Castle Island Lodge, UD. So I visited a lodge in Manitoba. Wow, Manitoba. Isn't that like 8 hours from your house? When did you find the time? Actually, I visited the lodge in my spare bedroom of my house. Wait, what? I've had one of the most interesting Masonic experiences of my short time as a Freemason. I visited a virtual lodge. In fact, I believe I visited the virtual lodge, Castle Island Lodge, UD. The reason I say the is because I don't think there is another virtual lodge in the world. So what is a virtual lodge? I would describe it as the next logical step after an internet lodge. An internet lodge is a lodge that is open to brothers of many jurisdictions. It is oftentimes seeking only brothers to affiliate or subscribe, as degree work is not their focus. The lodge is instead a marketplace of ideas and a way for the fraternal spirit to spread across the world. An internet lodge meets in the physical world but corresponds in a variety of web-based ways, email, message boards, etc., on a daily basis. Some examples of internet lodges are Internet Lodge number 9659 and Lodge Island 2000. A virtual lodge meets online. That's right, online. The brothers assemble online at wherever they are located. The meetings have a ritualistic opening and closing, and the business of a lodge is dispensed in the same manner that a physical lodge would. It is a lodge in every sense of the word. Well, maybe not every sense. This type of lodge begs the question, what is a lodge? Is a lodge the people, or is the lodge the building, or is it both? Now for a little backstory. Castle Island Lodge, UD, is a lodge under the Grand Lodge of Manitoba. The name Castle Island originates from their first meeting location, which was in Second Life. The lodge owned a virtual island that had a castle as its virtual meeting room, and all of this existed within the virtual world. Second Life is a massive multiplayer online world. Dwight Schrute describes it this way. I've used Second Life in the past, but in many respects, the content and activities that go on in Second Life world are, to put it delicately, weird. I visited Castle Lodge during the June 29th stated meeting and communication. The manner in which Castle Island meets is through an online video conferencing service. I sent the lodge secretary a letter of introduction from my Grand Lodge and was invited to attend the web conference. We ritually opened and began the business of the lodge in the same recognizable format that thousands of lodges do each and every month. After all business was dispensed with, the lodge was ritualistically closed. The brothers performed the duties of the lodge as a lodge. There was a worshipful master, wardens, deacons, inner guard, and immediate past masters. There was a VSL open with the square and compass. Every necessary component of a lodge was there. This is an important first foray into combining Freemasonry with the web. The web is redefining our sense of a place and our sense of time. We listen to podcasts and use DVRs. We use telepresence devices to conduct meetings from any place with internet access, or Skype or FaceTime to chat with family and friends. I would describe a virtual lodge as being a place on the web, each brother tiling his own surroundings and within himself, guarding against the vices and superfluities of his life. Castle Island Lodge is breaking down the conception of what makes us Masons. Can speculative Masonry work without a physical meeting place? Can we experience Freemasonry wherever we are, so dispersed? I think the answer to both these questions is a resounding yes. I really enjoyed my time with the brothers. I met grands, past grands, and as well as officers of various lodges throughout Manitoba. I've met brothers dedicated to moving our fraternity forward. I've seen a new route that Freemasonry is taking as she enters the burgeoning world of technology. My opinion is that the Grand Lodges need to encourage these types of experiments. Evolving doesn't mean discarding or ignoring what once was, is, or will be, nor is Castle Island Lodge an innovation. I'm glad to see a Grand Lodge like Manitoba embracing something like this. I don't think we need to completely dismantle a physical Masonic world and resemble it online like the laser on Tron, because we need those places as well. I'm not going to lie though, I wish I could have a light disc and a light cycle. Dare to dream. I don't see a virtual lodge as interfering with our practice, or the only way that Masonry should be worked. What I do see it as is a new effort at making connections. That is what Masonry is all about. When we enter the lodge door, we enter in the same similar manner as every other brother of that lodge. Our personal impressions and perceptions belong only to us, but the process is completely set before we enter. I'm a man that sees Masonry as a process, not an outcome. Oftentimes we are driven to outcome-only thinking. How many brothers were raised in a given year? How much to charity have the members donated? Or how many lectures have we memorized? But really, that's not the purpose of Freemasonry. We seek new places and new ways to further our light. It's not the third degree as an end, but as a beginning. We are a process-driven organization. Castle Island Lodge is a new place, and a new way for gaining light. The venue may be different, but the process is the same. Who knows where this concept will lead, except perhaps the great architect. But this is something that has to be done. We must investigate new ways of bringing light to brothers. Another lasting benefit is that our infirm brothers may continue to take part in our labors. A brother in a land that is not necessarily hospitable to Freemasonry can still find fraternity. And of course, I know my wife appreciated that it took me 5 seconds to get home. Of course, some things can never be recreated in the virtual world. You cannot have a festive board with the brothers assembled around a table, although you could each eat dinner and have toasts at each individual location. You cannot use all the modes of recognition, and outer lodge chats don't happen at the pub. I think all of these are relative. A virtual lodge, and indeed any lodge with a different take on Freemasonry will invariably lose one aspect to gain another. The Masonic world, like the profane world, is a series of trade-offs. This isn't the one single answer to rule them all, but this is an important thread to follow. The lodge will still have to perform the 3 degrees in the physical world. The lodge will still have to be installed in the physical world, and that's okay with me. The idea that the brothers from every corner of the globe can and will be available to labor and feel the fraternal bonds of our craft is revolutionary. As with all things on the web, I was reminded by the brothers of Castle Island that this lodge is still improving, or in Google terms, is currently in beta. And just like a Google product in beta, this lodge and its novel concept will continue to improve. All the parts are working, and only minor tweaks will need to be made to be ready for prime time. I will cherish the newfound friends that I have met during my visit to Castle Island Lodge. I want to thank Castle Island's Worshipful Master, Most Worshipful Brother Dave Love, Grandmaster in 2009 and 10, and Most Worshipful Brother Chibu Yusin, the current Grandmaster, Senior Warden, Most Worshipful Brother Steve Kane, Junior Warden and Treasurer, Grandmaster 1995 and 96, current Executive Secretary of Grand Lodge, Most Worshipful Brother C. Ray Haldren, Wilsone, Secretary, Grandmaster, 1997-98, Grand Secretary, 2001 through to 2010. Right Worshipful Brother Bernie Gross, past Grand Director of Ceremonies and current Grand Historian. Right Worshipful Brother Norm Pohl, Chaplain, current Grand Chaplain. Right Worshipful Brother Jake Mones, past District Deputy Grandmaster and Worshipful Master Mystery Lodge, number 174, Thompson, Manitoba. And Right Worshipful Brother Fred Heinrichs. I will be visiting again in August, and I'm very excited with the prospect of presenting an educational piece to the lodge. This is a brave new world, but unlike Huxley's dystopian version of a Fortean world state, technology is here, and it's wonderful, ubiquitous, and game-changing. Thanks go out to all the brothers of Castle Island Lodge. I had a wonderful time. If you're interested in more information, please use the contact form. Welcome Freemasonry to the web. You're really going to get along well. Again, that's from the Millennium Freemason. And you can find that blog at www.themillennialfreemason.com. and thanks again to Brother Nick Johnson of Minnesota. So I received a notice we have some additional people using the Stitcher Smart Radio app. I just wanted to say thanks. Every new listener via Stitcher who puts in the code Whence Came You with no spaces at the registration, Stitcher supports our show with a $1 donation. Registration is always free, and what's nice is the show is streaming all the time whenever you want it. Also, there are hundreds of other podcasts for you to listen to as well, just the same as our Apple and Android app. The main difference is with the app, is that the app users actually get a ton of extras, wallpapers for their mobile devices, PDF documents relating to the show, and also videos from time to time. It really is a great way to listen and help us out. So thanks again to everyone. Also, I wanted to say that I am looking for some good, license-free intro and outro music. Although I start each show with a different song, and at the end, a different song, I need to actually pick just one for two reasons. Continuity, and the second is legality. Now, anytime you put a song or anything like that on a public forum, there is copyright issue. Typically, they're not going to go after you for 5-10 seconds of a song. But just the same, I'm not fond of being told that I broke copyright, even though I'm only using 10 seconds of the audio. And I haven't been told that, but I want to take some proactive steps. So if you make music or know of some cool stuff that I can use for free, let me know. I'm currently accepting suggestions, and I'm even picking up my guitar these days and writing music again, but this time it's not for my youth angst band, it's for the show. So send anything you have to Facebook or email me at wcypodcast@gmail.com. Currently, I'm messing around a little bit with GarageBand and also looking at some other websites that were suggested. Next, I wanted to read a piece called The Personification of a Mason for July 11th, 2012 by Beehive, filed under The Beehive, Tackling Today's Masonic Issues, by Fred Milliken. Here is something to frame and hang up on your wall nearby, where you can glance at it now and then. This excerpt is taken from the Address to the Brethren, given very close to the end of the installation of the Officers of a Lodge according to the English or British Columbia Canadian work. It comes from the Masonic publication The Educator, but seems to be an adaptation of an original piece of work, The Ideal of a Freemason, written by Brother Otto Klotz in the mid-1800s. According to Cal Christie, the piece, The Ideal Freemason, was written by Brother Otto Klotz and incorporated into the general charge at installation of lodge officers in the Ontario working. And a little bit about the author, Brother Otto Klotz, born in Kiel, Holstein, Germany, brewer and hotelier. Otto Klotz immigrated to Preston, Ontario in 1837. Within a year, he was elected to the Board of School Trustees, where he served as a secretary-treasurer almost without break from 1839 to 1891. In 1845, Preston School became Ontario's first free school. He also served as chief engineer of the Preston Fire Brigade in 1850, justice of the peace in 1856, and among other officers was the president and longtime director of the Waterloo County Agricultural Society. Highly regarded by Ontario Freemasons, he was made an honorary past Grand Master in 1885. Excerpt from the article he wrote published in the Canadian Craftsman on 15th of March 1868 entitled The History of Freemasonry have been incorporated into the ritual of most of the lodges in Canada as the ideal of a Freemason. And now the piece, The Personification of a Mason. If you see a man who quietly and modestly moves in the sphere of life, who without blemish fulfills his duty as a man, a subject, a husband, and a father, who is pious without hypocrisy, benevolent without ostentation, and aids his fellow man without self-interest, whose heart beats warm for friendship, whose serene mind is open for licensed pleasures, who in vicissitudes does not despair, nor in fortune will be presumptuous, and who will be resolute in the honor of danger. The man who is free from superstition and free from infidelity, who in nature sees the finger of the eternal master, who feels and adores the higher destination of man, to whom faith, hope, and charity are not mere words without any meaning, to whom property, any, even life, is not too dear for the protection of the innocence and virtue and for the defiance and for the defense of truth, the man who towards himself as a severe judge, but who is tolerant with the debilities of his neighbor, who endeavors to oppose errors without arrogance, and to promote intelligence without impatience, who properly understands how to estimate and employ his means, who honors virtue, though it may be in the most humble garment, and who does not favor vice, though it may be clad in purple, and who administers justice to merit, whether dwelling in palaces or cottages. The man who, without courting applause, is loved by all noble-minded men, respected by his superiors, and revered by his subordinates. The man who never proclaims what he has done, can do, or will do, but where need is, will lay hold with dispassionate courage and circumspect resolution, indefatigable exertion and rare power of mind, and who will not cease until he has accomplished his work, and who then, without pretension, will retire into the multitude because he did the good act, not for himself, but for the cause of good. If you, my friend, meet such a man, you will see the personification of brotherly love, relief, and truth, and you will have found the ideal of a Freemason. This week's famous Freemason is Sir Ernest Shackleton. Ernest Henry Shackleton was born in County Kildare, Ireland, on 15th of February 1874, his family originally coming from Yorkshire, England. Shackleton was initiated into Navy Lodge No. 2612, the United Grand Lodge of England, on July 9th, 1901. His advancement was notably slow. Almost immediately after initiation, Shackleton joined Captain Scott's expedition to Antarctica that aimed to be the first to reach the South Pole. Despite the expedition's failure, Shackleton was inspired to lead his own expedition in 1907 that came within 97 miles of the South Pole. He was subsequently knighted in 1909. Despite appearing on many Navy Lodge summonses throughout the period, Shackleton attended the first regular meeting of Guild of Freemen Lodge No. 3525, United Grand Lodge of England, in 1911, and was passed to the second degree by that lodge on the 2nd of November 1911. He was raised to the degree of Master Mason at Guild of Freemen Lodge on the 30th of May 1913. And that's it for this week. Make sure to check us out on the Facebook page and follow at Whence Came You on Twitter. Remember, we're on Stitcher Smart Radio now, available on all mobile devices and now in your BMW or Mini Cooper even. It's built right into the radio. Also, soon to be built into some Chevy models as well, so you won't have to do anything besides turn it on in your car. Keep an eye out for the Midnight Freemason as well. Don't forget, we're on just about every social media outlet available. Most recently, Pinterest and now even Tumblr. I was told Tumblr is the new black, so we started that as well. Anyway, have a great week all and be safe. For Whence Came You? I'm Robert Johnson.